Howdy folks, John here. Welcome to the third and final video in my DIY manual tire changer series. Today we'll get the new 235-45 R20 tires mounted onto the alloy wheels without a scratch. We'll then see how well one of those low-cost bubble balancers is able to balance them up, finishing off with a road test to feel for vibrations. Let's get it done. So the new running shoes have arrived. Before mounting them onto the wheels, however, gotta check a few things on both the tire and the wheels. I like to clean the old tire residue off the rims before mounting, just using a little plastic scraper here, something that the tire shops will rarely, if ever, do. If your valve stems are fairly old, might want to replace them. I'm going to replace all mine. Again, if there was any dirt in here, I'd probably spend a little time cleaning that out. One thing to note, if you're match balancing, there's a lot of misinformation out on the internet saying that the valve stem area is always the heaviest part of the wheel. That's not the case. In fact, you're probably going to find it's the lightest. If you've got TPMS sensors in here, that's what this cutout is here for, and that's why this side of the wheel is actually probably going to be lighter than the rest if you're to check the balance just of the wheel alone. Here, for example, on this winter wheel set that I'm just checking the balance of the wheel, the valve stem side is actually the lightest. I'm having to actually press down slightly to center the bubble. And match balancing this tire, yellow dot on the opposite side, which is the heaviest part of the wheel and lightest part of the tire, we've got a perfect balance without any weights needed. Obviously, if you've got TPMS sensor valve stems, this will be the heaviest part of the wheel. But if you're just using regular valve stems, this part of the wheel is actually probably going to be the lightest. If your valve stems don't come pre-lubed, putting on a little tire lube of your choice to slide them in never hurts. To pull the valve stem through, just going to use one of these little valve stem tools. So just put the valve stem in through the back, thread the tool on, and pull it up. You'll hear it pop when it's in place. And the last thing I'm going to do on the wheel now is just remove the wheel weights. Seeing that we're going to be rebalancing it when the new tires are on. And if you've got leaded wheel weights, you might want to hang on to them and just reapply some 3M double-sided tape. It's getting hard to find lead weights like these. And again, I'll just take a little extra time cleaning the residue where those wheel weights were with some brake clean. Just get all the gum off of there. So the next thing you have to check is actually on the tire itself. If you've got directional tires, you're going to want to mark which wheels are on the left and right side of your vehicle so you know which way they turn and if there's an inner and an outer. These are non-directional tires, but they certainly have an inner side and an outer side. It'll say somewhere on the tire, inside or outside. Here we've got inner, so this side has got to be facing the back of the wheel. That's what we're going to slide over first. And on the other side here says outer. Before mounting the tire, we've got to lube it up. I like using a paste lube for mounting and a liquid lube, as we saw during the dismounting video. And this is just so there's no liquid that's going to be trapped in the tire after it's mounted. These cheap eBay brushes, by the way, are garbage. The little hairs shed on them, and if you get a hair between the bead and the wheel seat or the rim, it could slowly leak air. So should have just used a good old paintbrush. Of course, do both sides. Mounting the tire to the wheel is a lot easier than dismounting. You don't have to use a tire bar or anything. If you are going to match balance the tire to the wheel, we don't have to worry with these because they don't have the little yellow dot on them that signifies the light spot. But if you were and you wanted to go to that trouble, you would first check the wheel balance without the tire on, find the heaviest spot on the wheel, put a little mark on it or something, and then match that little yellow dot up. But we don't have to worry about that with this. Again, make sure you know which is inner and outer, so you're putting the inner side on first. And if you've got directional wheels, just make sure you've got the left tires on the left wheel, right on the right. So, to get these on, we don't really need anything special. It should just slide on without too much force, like so. Now, getting the top bead seated is a little more difficult. I find that help are one of these little tools that hold the tire down in the wheel dish. And we're going to get our duck head out. I like lubing the duck head so it slides nice and easy around the rim. You don't want any dirt on the rim, of course, because it could scratch. Same with dirt on the duck head. Now we'll just fit that in there, tighten it up. If you remember before, when we took the tire off, we were pulling the bead over the top of the duck beak or head, and this side was riding underneath. The bead was riding underneath this side. We want to go opposite here. We want the bead over top of there and underneath the duck head. Like that. And just make sure you don't get your fingers trapped in here. I've got to get the bar in here because it does take a little bit of force. And you just want to make sure that you're holding that bead underneath that duck beak or duck head as you go around. And that's it. Easy breezy. You'll find this process is even easier with higher profile tires. Here, these winter 235, 55, 18s, and I don't even need the little bead clamp at all. Just going around, don't even need the bar. They pop on really easy. I'll just take the duck head adapter off here. I just like going around with a damp rag at this point. Just inspect the wheel, make sure there's no scratches. Looks absolutely pristine. Now we get to do the most fun thing and dangerous, seating the beads. Get your eye protectors out. Now you're probably going to need an air compressor for this because you have to force a bit of air in there pretty quickly. I like using these digital gauges. They work really well. Is that even showing up? Not really. So, seating the bead. Tires will have a maximum bead seating pressure. They're usually around 40 psi. Double check these, and these are 40, so you don't want to go over 40. As long as you've got lubrication on there, you shouldn't even come close to that. But we'll see where this ends up seating. Back usually seats first. You'll hear it pop. Almost 15. I'm actually going to, move the camera. I don't like being over this section here. There was the back side that went. I just don't like that. Oh, I guess I can hold it this way. Is that still in frame? Yeah. Be nice if we could see that though. Ah. Come on. What are we at? 19 PSI. As you can see, that back one popped in really quick. Ooh, any minute now. Any minute. Wait for it. There she goes. 27 is where it popped in. Now you just want to fill your tires up to whatever PSI you want. I'm going to set this at 6 or at 36. Close enough. Another little thing I like doing, whether I'm installing tires myself or at a shop, is to get the brand new tire depth. What do we got there? Come on, focus, 11/32. And I'll write that in the maintenance log for the car. With the four new tires mounted on the wheels, it's time to balance them. Like most DIY home gamers, I'm going to be using one of these low-cost bubble balancers. Now, these things are a complete crapshoot, and out of the box, mine was at the far end of that crap scale. It had the two most common problems you often read about. I'm going to quickly show you how I address them. I don't want to spend too much time on this. You can read reviews and forum posts about the problems with these bubble balancers. It all stems from the way they pivot. The pivot point itself and the thing up in the head here that the little hardened steel thing pivots on. First problem is this is quite wide in relationship to this hole, so it's actually not pivoting on the tip, it's pivoting on the shoulder of that pin. So you get very poor resolution, it sticks. People grind these down to a sharp point so it will actually fit in the hole, but then you have a problem of it actually putting a divot inside here, and it gets just as tight to move, and it can even go off center. And that's the other problem with these things. Rarely is the pivot point in the head centered in relationship to the cone where the wheel sits. And of course, if the wheel isn't sitting perfectly centered on the pivot point, it's going to be heavy on one side all the time. So you're never going to be able to balance it. I've solved both issues by using a glass plate. This is actually a Hardex glass crystal and a half sphere magnifier. I wanted to use glass, very smooth, so it's got very little resistance. So this is up inside the head and it pivots on this little glass plate. There's other ways to do it. And I just 3D printed this little plate adapter, but you can make it out of anything, and it just slides on there. And then the glass crystal I've got glued inside. I don't know if that's showing up. And centered it. It was a complicated process. I just used my lathe with the drill stock, dial indicator, just to make sure that crystal was perfectly centered in relationship to the wheel. And now the bubble is always centered no matter where you turn this in relationship to the balancer. Before, the bubble was always lopsided. That's one way you can tell it's off center. And as far as pivot movement, how easy it is to pivot, and resolution, before, just with the pin, it would maybe tilt back and forth 3 or 4 times, a few seconds before it would stop if you gave it a shake. Now with the glass crystal in there, you can give it a shake and it'll be still moving 2 minutes later. With the wheel on, it still moves 10 minutes later. So very low resistance. The only problem with it, of course, is it's fragile. So you got to be really careful when you put the wheel on. I'm going to do this freehand so we can get right over top of the bubble nice and square. But as you can see, just gave it a little shake. It won't stop for a couple of minutes. That's how little resistance there is. And to set these up, let's just stop it from moving. You want that little bubble perfectly centered. You can use these little 3 screws to center it. Once you center it, it shouldn't really be out anymore. Come on, focus. And like I said, if you turn this now, that bubble should remain perfectly centered no matter where it's sitting. Showing you that the pivot point is perfectly centered. So let's get a wheel on. So like I said, you gotta be pretty gentle, because it is that glass crystal in there. But even if it was the pin, you'd still have to be gentle so you don't put a big divot in there. Well, I guess we should take the sticker off. Don't want that. So yeah, like I said, if you give this thing a shake, come back 10 minutes, it'll still be moving. But anyway, let's just get that stopped. And we'll take a look where the bubble is. I don't know how good this is going to show up. It's pretty centered. I'd probably be okay with this, but it's just a little bit, the bubble's sitting a little bit this way, meaning this side is a little light. So I'm just going to put a little 15 gram weight basically in line here while we look at the bubble. Put it roughly where the inside of the rim is. And I don't know if you saw that bubble move, but it did move a little closer to center. So that's where I'm going to put that weight. I'm just going to mark it on the inside. You know, and that's the other problem with these bubble balances, is you are just doing a static balance. And the wider the wheel is, the more important a dynamic balance is, because the further the weight's going to be out, it's going to give you a more of a vibration on a wide wheel than it would a really skinny one. So is this a substitute for computerized dynamic balancing? Not at all. I'm just hoping it gets me close enough so my fillings aren't being rattled out as I drive 300 kilometers to the city to get these properly balanced. But if this works well, I may not have to. So there's our little mark. I'm just going to clean the wheel where I'm going to stick the wheel weight. Because this is just a static balance, I kind of want the wheel weight in line with the faceplate of the wheel here. So I'm going to put it here. You know, most of the mass of the wheel is obviously on the spoke side here, but just going to go kind of in line with that mounting plate of the wheel. Like so. Now we'll put it back on the balancer and see how it does. There's our wheel weight, and we'll come back to the little bubble here. Perfectly centered, and rotate it 180 degrees so the wheel weight is on this side, just to make sure it hasn't changed. Rotated the wheel 180 degrees on the cone to where it was. And hopefully the camera's picking that up, but the bubble is still perfectly centered. And if we want, we could even just spin the wheel. And if your pivot point is perfectly centered, no matter where you spin the wheel, that bubble should remain perfectly centered. So I'm pretty happy with the static balance ability of this little bubble balancer with the modifications. Certainly wouldn't recommend one of these things to anyone if you don't want to do them. They don't work well unless you put a little time into them, in my opinion, but we'll see how it goes when the rubber really does meet the road. We'll go for a road test right away. But knowing how well the manual tire changer works with the duck head adapter, you know, kind of contemplating whether it'd be worth buying a computerized balancing machine. You know, either looking for a used one, the Mayflower down in the States, you can pick those up for around $1,000. For a DIYer at home, a fair chunk of change, but if you did enough, it might pay for itself. That's just the convenience. Main thing, I wanted to see if the bubble balancer, if it even works, and again, so the trip up to the city isn't too uncomfortable to take it to a shop and get it properly done on a computerized balancer. But who knows, might be okay. We'll see you out on the highway. Okay, to check balance on wheels and tires, obviously like to find a nice smooth stretch of highway. Wheel balance problems generally don't start showing up until about 80 kilometers an hour, 50 miles an hour. We're at 90 right now. And what I like to do to check the front wheel balance anyway is to just place my finger lightly on the steering wheel. And if there's any imbalance at all, your finger will shake back and forth as the steering wheel wobbles. At least that's what I have found over the years. And I've certainly found tire shop balances worse than this. This is impressive. I'm not feeling anything. What are we at, 110K right now? Let's bring it up to 130. There's 130. Still nothing. That's unreal. Now, am I saying this is going to be as good as a dynamic computerized balance? No, but this is impressive. So happy with that little bubble balancer. Now for the rear wheels, if I was feeling any shaking in my ass, that would probably be an indicator that they're out, but I don't feel anything. Ideally, should have the better half drive in the car while I sit in the back seat there to feel for any rear wheel vibration, but I'm not feeling a thing. So very happy with the bubble balance. We're smooth as glass here. Thanks for watching, folks. And until next time, happy DIY tire mounting and balancing. Hope you get good results like this. Cheers.